Look with me for just a moment in Revelation chapter number 7. Revelation chapter number 7. And I want you to see here in verse number 9, it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Look back in chapter number 5 and down in verse number 9. Here we see more worship of the Lamb of God taking place. And in verse number 9 we see, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Go back one more chapter to chapter 4, down in verses 10 and 11. And here we read, "The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Well, you know what? As you read through the book of Revelation, do we not find a book that's really teaching us about what heaven? It pulls back the curtain, allowing us to look into heaven and into eternity. And what are we finding is going to be in heaven and in eternity? A lot of what? A lot of worship. A lot of fervent worship. And I especially like in chapter 5 and in chapter 7, when in both passages that we just read, it mentions that these that are worshiping the Lamb of God are worshiping Him from every kindred, from every tribe, from every nation, and from every tongue. Isn't that wonderful to see? You say, well, what tongue will that tongue be? I don't know. I don't think it'll be English. I'm sorry. You'll learn a new language. It'll be a heavenly language, all right? But we'll be praising Him from one heart and one tongue for the one Savior who redeemed all, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And I want you to catch this thought and consider this thought this evening as you hold this missions conference or this missions month, as you consider your faith promise card and what you're going to give this year towards faith promise, these gifts of grace that help to send the message of the gospel all around the world, is that really the end of missions is what? Is worship. The purpose of missions is worship. We have a God, John 4 tells us, who is seeking worshipers, seeking those who can worship Him in spirit and in truth. Who am I? I'm a missionary. I'm a sent one. I'm going out and I'm proclaiming this message, which gives them peace with God, which makes them worshipers of God, that now they can worship Him for who He is and for what He has done. And that's not only right now are they worshiping Him, but in eternity to come, we're going to be praising His name. We have a lady in our church, Tatiana. In fact, many of those that you saw in our service, current services that are happening, came from her invitation. And the first time she came to our service, in fact, she had been invited 3 times to our church before she finally came. So don't give up on inviting folks to church. Don't give up on sharing with them the gospel. But she received her 3rd invitation. She came. She listened that Sunday. She came the next Sunday. She listened again. She came the next Sunday and she said, "I want to receive Christ." She stood at the end of the service. She prayed out loud in front of everybody and she asked Christ to save her. Well, a few weeks later, after a service, she came to Julie and she said, "You know, before my salvation, I didn't care about singing. I didn't want to sing. But now, I just can't sing enough. I just want to sing." God put a song in her heart and she's giving worship to her Redeemer who has redeemed her, who has liberated her, who has set her free to worship the one true God and Creator and King. Listen, the purpose of missions is worship. That's the end of missions, is we're gathering worshipers. But do you know that today in the world in which we're living, of some 8.4 billion people, that somewhere around only 30% of the world has heard a clear gospel presentation? Now, for those of you from California, that means 70% have not heard, okay? We got to help our California people, all right? They're a little confused about education and things out there in California. That's where my mother-in-law lives, so I can tease about California. But I'm just sharing with you, 70% have not heard a clear gospel presentation. Of that 70%, you can break it into two figures. 30%, that would leave 40, again, for those of you from California, okay? 30% live in an area like this one with the potential to hear, just they have not heard a clear gospel presentation. I pastored in Kansas City. We knocked on doors there. We took the gospel out to our community. I'm telling you, I met people that even went to Christian churches who had never heard a true gospel presentation. You have some right here in Indianapolis. But 40% live in what's called an unreached area. They have no potential to hear the gospel. As Pastor shared, I just came back from India. India's what? About 1.4 billion people. Some estimate that of that 1.4 billion people, 95% are unreached with the gospel. We took some men from our institute before COVID. We went over to Central Asia, to Tajikistan. It's very difficult now with the war with Russia to get back. But we went over there, Islamic country, Tajikistan. Do you know that it's estimated to be 99% unreached with the gospel? Do you know when I was in Tajikistan, didn't matter where I was, the village that we went to, and God gave us some wonderful opportunities there to preach the gospel in Tajikistan. But do you know I could go to a small little village? Do you know what I could get there if I really wanted it? Do you know that same thing I could get there when I was in India? No matter where I was in India, I could get this product in India. Do you know what that product is? Coca-Cola. You know, Coca-Cola has been around about 150 years or so, and it's estimated that about 94-95% of the world recognize the Coca-Cola logo. Now my question is, how did Coca-Cola reach 94-95% of the world, but the church, who's had the gospel now for 2,000 years, has only reached 30% of its world? How can that be, church? And let me ask you one more question. How can it be that we are content with it being that way? I mean, this generation, I've heard it said, of believers is responsible for this generation of lost souls on earth. Are we ready for Christ to return? I would say, man, I want Him to return, but I'm not sure we're ready for Him to return. I'm from Missouri. In Missouri, if you get a 30% on your test, it's the show me state. I'll guarantee you what my teacher's going to show me, right? Now, California, again, they're a little different out there in California. 30%'s a passing grade in California. But I don't think God grades like Californians. I think it's the opposite out there, all right? I'm just sharing that we don't want Him to come back only having completed 30% of the mission. Folks, there is work to do. There are more Tanyas out there that will worship Him if they could hear the message. Faith comes by what? And hearing by what? They have to hear the Word of God. They have to hear the Gospel. And that Gospel has to be sent. And we need to be, as church members, giving ourselves to this purpose. Listen, in every local church, there are two kinds of people concerning missions. There are goers and there are senders. Who are the goers? Well, the goers are those that have surrendered. As Isaiah, they said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And they heard the call of God. God had a specific place. He is sending them to go with the gospel, to proclaim that gospel in a foreign country. They are a goer. Well, then who are the senders in the local church? Well, the senders are those that also surrendered to go. Did you hear that? But they were called to stay. Because God had a work for them in the local church in helping send the goers to go. How do the senders have a part in helping the goers to go? Well, there's two ways they have a part. One is through their giving. They help support missionaries to go by their financial gifts. Thank you for your faithfulness and thank you for your gifts. I cannot tell you what a blessing they are to help accomplish the ministry in these foreign places. The work cannot be accomplished without those gifts like it should be. But a second way senders support the goers in going is through their prayers. And if I had to be honest with you tonight, I would say your prayers are more important than your gifts. Now, both are needed. But your prayers are more needed than your gifts are needed. And prayer warriors today are more needed than the givers are. I mean, we need people, partners, laborers who will labor in prayer for God to open doors, for God to glorify His gospel, for God to spread the gospel, to call laborers to labor for the glory of Christ. So we need, everyone has to be active. It's everyone playing their part, knowing what God has called for you in this. But folks, we have to get busy. I mean, are you watching the pieces on the chessboard, Pastor? Are they moving into place? My friends, they are moving into place. It's happening right before our eyes. Well, we better get busy because King Jesus is coming, right? And He has commanded us, mandated us to take this gospel and to preach it into all the world. To every creature, we have work to do. We have worshipers together. And we need to get busy about this work. I want to sing a song with you this evening. I just want you to think about the song tonight. It is a missionary version of How Great Thou Art. I think it brings across this thought of the purpose of missions in gathering those that can give Christ glory for who He is and for what He has done. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Now listen. And when I think of all the heathen millions who never knew the sound of Thy sweet name, who never knew the miracle of Calvary, who never can Thy great salvation claim. Unless we work and pray till day is done, how can they know how great Thou art? Unless we give until the victory's won, how can they know how great Thou art? And when they know that Jesus died to save them, and when they feel the grace that God imparts, when Jesus shines His love divine within them, He will transform their sinful heathen hearts. Then they shall sing, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then they shall sing, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Is He a great God? Is He worthy of all praise and honor? How can they praise Him for what He has done? if they have never heard about what He has done. And listen, you are a missions church. You are a great missions church, and we love you and praise God for your partnership. But folks, we have more work to do. We have a King who is coming, and we have people that have yet to hear the message of redemption. They cannot praise Him because they do not know Him, and they do not know what He has done. I'm telling you, there are Tatianas that are all over the world waiting for someone to come and tell them of a Savior who laid His life on the line to purchase their redemption and validated that by His resurrection from the grave. Folks, we have work to do. Let us be found faithful. Amen.